Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Such are the famous opening lines of Psalm 121. I have chosen to preach on Psalm 121 this morning because this psalm was a favorite of two people who have died, but who remain very much in my heart. Let's first talk about Archie Cole. I happen to know that this psalm was one of Archie's favorites because when Helen and I were planning Archie's memorial service, Helen insisted quite unequivocally that this psalm and no other must be printed on the back of the bulletin. Helen never told me what it was about this psalm that was special to Archie. No doubt it would have been good if I'd asked her about this before I started speculating about it from the pulpit, but I didn't ask her, and here I am speculating about it anyway. I hope that you'll forgive me, Helen. I hope I don't get it wrong. It seems abundantly clear to me why this was Archie's favorite psalm. Archie was a farmer. And farmers, especially farmers who grew up when Archie did, were in the habit of looking around them. When they looked about them, farmers don't only look at their own land, they look at the land in the distance too, at the shadows of the clouds moving over the hills, at the thunderheads gathering on the horizon, or the wind moving in the treetops. Farmers must be aware of the moving weather fronts. They must know about the phases of the moon. And of course, they must know exactly when that sweet moment will occur, when the sun peeks over the horizon and the night mists that lie in the shoulder blades of the hills or cling to the tops of the evergreens begin to slowly burn away. The farmer lifts his eyes up to the hills, and this is where his help comes. The sun. His help that pulls corn into the sky, ripens apples, and makes milk drop in the udders of the cows is the sun, nearest of stars. During the many millennia of human history before any astronomical science confirmed the startling details of our sun, we humans already knew in the core of our bones that there could be no life without the light, without the heat, without the rhythm and the journey of our beloved sun. The sun breaks through and banishes the darkness. The sun gives meaning to all those shapes that were fearful in the night. The sun warms our faces, our hands, and our hearts. In my mind's eye, I see Archie walking out in the darkness before dawn and looking out over the hills, stopping to watch the sunrise through the vapor of his own breath. I look to the hills, he might have said to himself, from whence my help comes. The other person to whom I want to speak this morning, for whom this psalm was important, was my father, Kosuke Koyama. When he died in 2009, everyone called him Ko, left behind a vast collection of writings, books, diaries, sermons, and scholarly articles. My creative life as a writer and as a Christian thinker has been shaped by the legacy of my father's work. ruminating over Psalm 121 in an article entitled "The Ambiguity of History," my father noted that the Japanese culture from whence he came, was not a Psalm 121 culture. In Japanese religious thought, help does not come from the Lord who made heaven and earth. In Japanese religion, help comes from heaven and earth. When, for centuries, people in Japanese villages looked for help, they did indeed look to the hills. And the spirits of their ancestors that resided there in the hills would come down in the springtime when it was time to plant the new rice. And these spirits were invited back to the village where they would bless the newly planted rice paddies. Psalm 121 tells us that we will get help from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Japanese people get their help from heaven and earth. To illustrate the difference, in his article, my father tells this story. "I know an old woman," he said, "who spent most of her life as a devout adherent of the Japanese cult of the fox. This is one of the most popular beliefs in Japan. This old woman became a Christian in her early 70s without knowing that the change would entail giving up the fox cult. The day finally came, however, when she was convinced that she should reject her old faith, and she decided to remove the fox temple she had built on her property. She prepared a small boat, placed the temple on it, took it to the open sea, and gently pushed it off into the waves. Since she was grateful for the spiritual help she had received all these years, she watched the boat disappear into the sea with reverence and gratitude. When I remember her story, I am deeply moved." In the monotheistic traditions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, God is understood to be the creator of the universe. And for this reason, the divine is outside or above heaven and earth. Our God is a jealous God. The one God will not allow the possibility of any other God. Ancient animist religions like Shintoism, on the other hand, allow the divine to be part of or within heaven and earth. The fox is, of course, part of our world, and the spirits of the departed loved ones are part of our world. I, like my father before me, am deeply moved by the beauty of the story of the old woman giving up her fox deity. And I don't think I'm alone. Today, in our modern world, many people refuse to come to church. If they want a spiritual experience, they go for a hike instead. They are put off by the jealous God who is so demanding. Perhaps people today would prefer the fox deity. Perhaps people today believe that their help comes not so much from the Lord who made heaven and earth, but from heaven and earth. Perhaps in a time of climate crisis, the vertical power structure that comes with monotheistic religion is a problem. Maybe we would be better off simply worshiping the earth and the sun. How do we Christians respond? When I went to El Salvador a number of years ago with a group of students from Yale Divinity School, I met an old woman who spoke to us about the Archbishop Oscar Romero. Now, some of you may remember that Oscar Romero was the Roman Catholic Archbishop of El Salvador during a time of terrible oppression in that country, when the government and the military were brutally murdering their critics, and they were also systemically keeping all the wealth so that millions of poor people were starving. Romero spoke up for the poor, and he was a great hero for the people of El Salvador. And so, as a result of this, on March 24th, 1980, he was killed by an assassin's bullet while he was in the act of serving Holy Communion. In 2013, I visited the little chapel where Romero fell. Speaking of Romero, the old woman said to us, "When Romero walked the earth here in El Salvador, Jesus walked the earth." Later in that night, when we students gathered to discuss the events of our day in El Salvador, this moment came up in discussion, and some of the students were troubled by the old woman's words. They felt it was sacrilegious to suggest that Romero and Jesus were on the same level. It was during this conversation that I stumbled upon an idea that has become very important to my spiritual outlook. I argued that we should confuse those we love with Jesus. That this confusion is a glorious confusion. When Jesus asked us to love God with our hearts and our minds and our souls, he immediately added to it by saying, "And love your neighbor also as yourself." Jesus himself encouraged us to think of the love of God and the love of neighbor in the same breath. I think of this glorious confusion when I think about God and about the Son. Are they different? We cannot have life without God, and we cannot have life without the Son. I think of this glorious confusion when I think about my father and about Archie, the benevolent spirits of our departed loved ones, who we invite back into our midst to give us wisdom. A religion that enforces a doctrine is perilously close to becoming a political ideology. That is not the Christianity that will nourish us in this age of climate crisis. I think that Christianity that is lived in community, benefits more from glorious confusion than from strict adherence to doctrine. So today, when we gather to celebrate the solar panels that we have installed to collect the energy from the sun, look to the hills. Invite the spirit of our departed loved ones into your hearts and feel the sunshine on your face. Is this God? I believe it is. Amen.